we see a major shift in wellness coming. I mean, the sleep solutions are lovely. They're supportive of sleep, but we're going to have less of a focus on all this generic sleep solutions and a new focus on circadian health optimization.
Welcome to the new podcast series for the Global Wellness Summit. I'm your host, Kim Marshall. This season was recorded live from the Global Wellness Summit's fourth annual Wellness Trends press conference on January 28th in New York City. The event is designed to share insights into the $4.5 trillion global wellness economy while exploring the latest wellness and innovations around the world. But January 28th seems like a very long time ago now. As we get ready to post this episode, it's March 26th, and we're all sharing a lockdown world during a global pandemic. So why should you listen to today's wellness podcast? Because we're interviewing the mega smart Beth McGroarty, the Institute's resident research expert who's led strategic communications and media relations for the Global Wellness Institute for the last 5 years and worked for the group for the last 11. She's one of the secrets behind what makes the research the Institute does so powerful. Listen now to see how prescient some of the trends sound for 2020. Trends which are based on findings and feedback from economists, academics, futurists, and CEOs. Let's also think about how they may inform a world who is learning each day how precious our collective wellness really is. Gives me goosebumps when I read some of the trends, like the growth of the wellness sabbatical, the fertility boom, the good sleep to circadian health, wellness music, which is all about retreating into sound, and which is exactly what we're doing listening to podcasts, and so much more. Now join me as we listen to Beth and let me know what you think. There's hope on the wellness horizon. Stay tuned. So I'm reading in the introduction to this major big research book that was put out this year, that's always put out every year for the past 15 years. Is that right?
The team that's been working on it has been doing it for more than 15 years. Yes.
Unbelievable. And this forecast that was released yesterday at the Devil Wears Prada Hearst building at 300 West 57th in New York, where we're sitting right now, it says that this forecast is based on the perspectives of so many experts worldwide, economists, academics, futurists, the CEOs of international corporations, all in the $4.5 trillion wellness economy. It is unique, and it is a powerfully informed set of global predictions. And my take on that is that it's because you're in the driver's seat of where this research goes. So tell me, how many studies, predictors, statistics do you research in a year to come up with these topics?
Well, it comes out of the conversations, debates, keynotes, panels that happen at the summit, which is, you know, 550 people that are in the industry from every sector. So we kind of listen to what everyone's talking about, and then we decide, you know, what feels new, what feels like the future of wellness, and then we go wild down the rabbit hole for each trend. So tons of research, talking to experts, looking at studies, making sure that, you know, that they feel like they're not fleeting, that they're, you know, going to have an impact on people's health, and also have some staying power and not trendy for the sake of trendy.
Yeah. And I just couldn't believe that Susie yesterday, I could believe she, when you focused on one of the amazing trends, wellness music, she goes, and if Beth really believes it, it's really true. And then don't you have, also, don't you kind of assign projects to other people?
Yeah. So, well, we have, we work with, each year is sort of different, but we work with different researchers and writers that are right for the topic. So this year we worked with Rena Raphael, who's a journalist for the New York Times and Fast Company, and an expert on Japan, and a science writer for the Evidence Trends. So it changes every year, but yeah, it's too much for one person to write it all.
Yeah, and I just encourage anyone who's out there, you can find this, you can order it online at, what is it, Global Wellness Institute Wellness Evidence? Is that it, or...?
Just type in wellness evidence, for the evidence trend.
For the report.
For the report, globalwellnesssummit.com.
Okay.
And right at the top, you'll see the trends.
And when you read it and you see Beth McGroarty's name at the top of the topic, just buckle your seatbelt. It will be so jam-packed with layers of factoids and reasonings and kind of funny things, too. So I'm just looking right now at this content page. Circadian Health, Aging Rebranded, J Wellness, Mental Wellness and Technology, Energy Medicine, Get Serious, Organized Religion Jumps into Wellness, The Wellness Sabbatical, The Fertility Boom, Wellness Music, and Wellness We Trust. You can't talk about them all in 30 minutes, Bethy.
No.
But how about if we, tell me a minute, because we interviewed Mickey Bayer Clausen with the Time Shifter app.
Right.
What did you learn about circadian health?
In a minute?
and whenever you want to say.
That's a complex scientific subject. But I mean, the point of this trend is really important, which is that the world and the wellness world has been completely obsessed with sleep. So, you know, if you think about this culture that we're in right now, we're completely, in the history of mankind, we've never been so obsessed with sleep. you know, we're buying expensive smart mattresses and sleep headbands, and we're paying to sleep in nap pods, and we actually even travel to go to sleep retreats. We're taking CBD for sleep. We're guzzling sleep tonics. I mean, it's this massive $432 billion industry that they call the sleep economy.
And people get sleep divorces.
And people, you know, have desexualized their bedrooms essentially by banishing their partners because, you know, it's called a sleep divorce. So we're seemingly in the sleep crisis, which we are. The studies show that people are not sleeping enough. And the question is, we're throwing all this money at sleep, and why? And, you know, the real point of this trend is that because pampering and comforting sleep with all those generic sleep solutions is not getting to the heart of the problem, which is that these sleep solutions and the way that we run our modern lives absolutely defy the facts of circadian biology.
Wow.
You know, it's very complicated science. I worked with Dr. Stephen Loxley at Harvard on this trend, and he's probably the world's great, one of the world's great sleep experts, and he
only
works with
him,
Time Shifter.
Huh?
But I mean, humans evolved to be ultra sensitive to the 24-hour cycle of the sun, day in and day out. So regular light and dark cues, the bright blue light of day, darkness when dusk comes, are these time cues that reset our bodies and our circadian clocks every single day. And this master clock in our brain controls all of our circadian rhythms, which then controls all of our systems of our body. So everything from our reproductive system to our immune system.
Jeez.
So natural solar time, regular light and dark, is like the ruler of human health and biology. But I think everyone experiences this. The disconnect between natural clock time, you know, sun time, dark time, and the human social clock today is like a radical disconnect. So modern life, we were not, you know, has been called a lightmare, which it is.
A lightmare.
It's, you know, we were blasting our faces with blue light by screens at night, or checking our iPhone for that last work email, ever bigger TV screens that are brighter and bigger. You know, there's a huge amount of light pollution in the modern world. You know, we're deprived of sunlight in the day because we're all trapped sitting in front of screens and desks. So we have unprecedented clock time, and natural solar time are out of whack. We're taking in light like psychotically in ways that have never happened before for humans.
And if you can't sleep, you pick up your stupid phone and start reading with the blue light emitting your eyeballs, right?
Right. So we have, you know, even though we're spending all this money on sleep, we're not, we're having unprecedented circadian and sleep disruptions. And, you know, these lead to massive health problems, diabetes, obesity, some cancers. So I think the problem is that the wellness world, the sleep world, you know, we need to really know that no smart pillow, no smart mattress, no CBD is ever going to reset your circadian rhythms.
Wow.
Only solutions that have light and the timing of light at the center of them can impact circadian rhythms. So what we're saying in this trend is that we see a major shift in wellness coming, which is we're going to stop focus. I mean, the sleep solutions are lovely. You know, they're supportive of sleep, but we're going to have less of a focus on all this generic sleep solutions and a new focus on circadian health optimization, which means we as people and solutions are going to be focusing on the type and timing of light and really the timing of our biology. I mean, some of this is common sense, which is if you're going to keep checking your phone till midnight or 2 a.m, you know,
good luck.
That's just common sense. But then there's also technologies and solutions that are going to help us block that bad light and get back to something that like a human was meant to live.
Like, yeah. And let me tell you, we had Mickey on and we were, you know, we'd flown to Singapore and my one girlfriend is really anal and linear and she did it to the T. And I did everything but the light. How stupid, right?
Right. That's the centerpiece.
And I was the complete, you know, misfire on the way there. Then after talking to him, I did everything to the T. I woke up the morning after a 17-hour flight from Singapore to LA fires and having to evacuate. Not 1 minute of jet lag did I have.
Yeah.
Which was and you had astronauts on the stage and United Airlines guys saying, it works, it works.
Well, and it's so simple. I mean, so you're talking about the Time Shifter app, which, you know, you input your itineraries and planes and it gives you very specific directions, when to take light, when not to take mm-hmm, light, mm-hmm. when to, you know, sleep, when not to sleep. And so, yes, you're wearing giant sunglasses in the middle of the day in airports and you might look like a freak, but
who cares?
So that's a very important example of a circadian technology, a circadian solution that is part of this trend. But there are other aspects of the trend.
Oh, no, you
got
to read it. Now, I wanted to also ask you about J Wellness quickly, because I was cool. I mean, Korean beauty and all that, everybody knows, but what is J Wellness?
Well, J Wellness is in a sense, we're throwing down the gauntlet a bit, saying that there is. So, you know, Japan has the most amount of people that live to be 100 of any country on earth per capita.
Wow.
In fact, 50% of all kids born in 2007 are predicted to live to be 107. So they have a culture, a very unique culture of wellness. So it combines ancient healing traditions with, you know, really smart people-focused technology and also very interesting and innovative social policy mm-hmm. for health and wellness. So, you know, I think what we're trying to say here is, you know, we see these trends that come into our culture, like ikigai, which is a Japanese concept of a lifelong pursuit of purpose, or what we saw with Marie Kondo, which is the spiritual auditing of clutter. And so we saw this stuff sort of piecemeal, but we just think that people are going to be interested and notice a more comprehensive culture that comes from Japan that's wellness, especially with the Olympics coming this summer.
Oh.
So all eyes on Japan.
Well, let's not forget how they treat seniors, Beth. It's amazing.
So yeah, they're the first, and I think this is a trend that percolated throughout all the trends this year. The world is aging at a pace that's never been seen before. It's the biggest demographic shift, probably in one of them in the history of humans. And Japan is the first super aging country. So they're dealing and solving for what the rest of us are about to experience all over the world. Massive amounts of people over 60 and 65. So they're doing everything from inventing technologies like social robots that are companions physically and emotionally.
Soothing voices.
And also to help caregivers, because there's not enough caregivers in the world for what's happening. They design, they're really trying to solve for a new world of people that are over 60, over 65, over 70, 80, 90, that are living to 100. So no more, and it's something that came throughout all the trends, you know, that, well, the world is so obsessed with millennials, but the next markets and wellness and in all markets, fashion, beauty, food, are, you know, going to shift to, you know, what we used to call seniors. But these aren't the kind of people that want to be called seniors anymore.
No, no. We talked to Dr. Modi, Dr. M, and he's 75. And he's like, this is the most important chapter of my life. I will never retire. I have so much to do, from India.
Yeah.
And he said, the whole world is in unity on this. Okay, so let's get to my favorite topic that you did, research on energy medicine. Beth, I'm just telling you, when I read your writing, I want to start crying. I'm just going to read a couple of things you wrote. We are a complex electromagnetic field surrounded by other complex electronic fields. And I wanted to ask you, and then you called music precision energy medicine. You mentioned a biophotonic blitz. And you made me think that people could, you know, in good faith say to their child, here's your iPhone, here's your cell phone, now be safe. When they're actually handing their child this radiation thing, you know?
Yeah.
So tell us, what in the world?
Well, the energy medicine trend spans a lot. But, you know, when we think about energy medicine, most people think wellness world, you know, Reiki and acupuncture, chakra balancing, crystal healing, a lot of stuff that people mock as the most wellness stuff, although it's massive and people are seeking it. But what this trend is really about is that, you know, Western medicine has not focused on what we could call the energy body. Whereas all the ancient medicines that we know, TCM, Ayurveda, shamanistic traditions, their healing models, which they invented thousands of years apart and thousands of miles away from each other independently, all revolved around the body as an energy field and interventions into that ki in TCM or doshas in Ayurveda, the meridians, the energy points in the body.
So you say ki, I say chi.
Chi, okay.
no fight there.
But anyway, what's happening is that now science is showing, medicine, science, really serious stuff, is showing that the human body, as you said, is a complex biofield of electromagnetic frequencies and light waves, and that they control our physical and mental functioning, and we're immersed increasingly in our digitized, networked, insane 5G coming
crazy
world in very complex environmental and electromagnetic fields that change our human cells. So what's happening is that medicine used ignored the energy body now, and now a lot of new discoveries in medicine are shaking up thinking about the human body. And you're right to say there's so much debate about whether cell phones cause harm. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of like yelling and screaming and no and yes. And
yeah,
but we do think that it hasn't been researched enough and that electromagnetic pollution is going to be the next public health issue. Europeans are very ahead of us on this one. But, you know, what happens with 5G puts cell towers really close together.
Oh, my God.
And everyone says, no, they're fine. And I'm sure the point is not that I'm saying they're not fine. The research really hasn't been done.
And I saw...
But we know we're being blitzed. Everything's digital. You know, everything in your home, Wi-Fi, cell phones, this, appliances, smart this, smart cities, smart. So that's one aspect of the trend, but it's really all the different ways that the body is in a electromagnetic and also just finally some common ground between traditional science and medicine and what people have written off in a lot of ways as
too woo woo,
too woo woo, and what are you doing here? And I'm not saying that people from Harvard would say do crystal worshiping or crystal healing.
Yeah, yeah.
But the theory that we are electromagnetic, electrical fields, that this is really an important part of wellness and health, the theoretical ground is more common now. So I think there's going to be more conversations
blending
and solutions.
And I love that you said, I'm not judging between, I'm just looking at this like an anthropologist. Why are people so attracted to these energy things? And we did a gong session, right, Cody, yesterday, where I laid on the floor. I'd been interviewing all day. And, you know, the gong, Martha,
yeah,
brought her gong in and did an individual gong bath for me. And I'm not kidding. It was so revitalizing. But, you know, the scientists will say there are sound waves. There are color waves. Let's not be silly about it.
Well, it's fun. I mean, obviously the sound bath and sometimes I think there's more, as many sound baths and shamans now as there are spas, you know, in the wellness. So people are seeking energy medicines, you know, and so sometimes in wellness, I'm not going to talk about, you know, hard evidence and stuff. I'm talking about what are people seeking.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes in the wellness world, people are a little bit out in front than even medicine in the industry. Like, take a look at what people are seeking and why.
To find out details about one of my favorite trends this year, the wellness sabbatical, visit globalwellnesssummit.com/2020 Global Wellness Trends. Want to hear how the very first wellness sabbatical retreat in North America got started? Listen as we hear from Rancho La Puerta in Tecate, Mexico. I think legacy, you know, in wellness, it's like dance. You know, you can take dance from someone who took dance from someone who took dance from Martha Graham or Balanchine or whatever.
Sure.
And that's the way with the wellness legacy. And it starts and stops in North America with the Zeke family.
Oh, well, the Zeke family. I mean, you know, when Deborah Zeke, who's our co-founder, was 17 years old, she was just recently married. She had all her belongings in the back of her car, and she was with her husband, Edmund Zeke, who's the other co-founder of Rancho La Puerta, right. And was a man way before his time. He was a Renaissance man. He was a great experimenter, a linguist, and so much more, a very wise philosophical man. And this was around the June of 1940, and the United States government hadn't quite declared its position on the war, on World War II, because it hadn't been declared yet. And the professor would have had to go back to Romania because they were deporting the Jews back. And so they needed to find another spot. And he had developed a cult following around the world.
It was a grape juice diet or something?
He did a grape juice diet, among other things. Mm-hmm. And so he set off to find a location for the summer because they were expecting people who had followed him around the world to show up that summer. And so he found this spot under a sacred mountain, which is Mount Kuchma, where we're still at. And he said, all right, we're going to set up camp for the summer here. And the rest, as we say, is history.
It's history. And, you know, one thing I love is Deborah was younger than him, but she was from a healthy family. They lived in Tahiti when she was young and they were fruitarians.
Yeah, what? Her mother was the vice president of the New York Fruitarian Society.
Whatever that is. Crazy.
And her mother was the one that said, all right, kids, pack your bags up. We're moving to Tahiti.
Which is a great place to move, by the way.
Yeah, and they had heard of the professor. Deborah's soon-to-be husband was going to be there. And so they went there to hear him lecture. And, you know, and then some time passed and then Deborah ended up marrying him. So,
well, the legend I heard, I don't know if it's true or not, but it's like the professor used to lecture in the hot sun. And they're sitting in, you know, the metal chairs and people would nod off after lunch or what. So Deborah's like, well, I got to do something. So she'd get him up to move. And I heard that that's how sort of aerobics and fitness started at the ranch.
Yeah, that's what I've heard as well. There's so much myth and lore around the beginnings of Rancho La Puerta, but that's sort of the version I've heard as well, is that the professor was the visionary. He was really the person that people wanted to sit and were, you know, raptured. They really wanted to hear him speak. Mm-hmm. But then after a while, they needed to move. And so Deborah was the one that came up with, okay, we have a mountain, let's climb that mountain. And when they came back, they were really sore. So that's when the professor came up with what is today our herbal wrap, our signature Rancho La Puerta herbal wrap. And yeah, it had its foundings in the Father Sebastian Kneipp, who is a German visionary of sorts as well.
Plant master.
Yeah. And herbalist. So he took the herbs that were indigenous to the ranch and steeped them in linens. And those were then wrapped around the bodies, the sore bodies. And that's how we took care of their muscle aches and things like that. And that was just sort of the beginning. And then Deborah had everybody go work in the gardens and pick their own fruit and their own food, literally.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. You know, it's, as Deborah says, it all happened organically. There was no plan for it. And it just sort of, one thing led to the other. And
so
before they knew it, they had embarked on this sort of wellness journey and created a luxury resort. So dear listeners, if you are ready to make a new reservation at Rancho La Puerta, please mention code RLPGWS, pretty simple, and you will receive $250 off your visit.
Wow. So do it now.
Don't wait.
Change your life, Semper Mejor. Well, I think what you were saying is that people are using energy to activate self-healing, right? I mean, it's like to turn a little button on that maybe I was asleep or blocked or something.
Yeah, well, I mean, the medical side is, and read the trend because it's complex medicine, mm-hmm. but biophotonics and the research they're doing about the sort of light and energy fields in the body and how, you know, how we can manipulate and change things to create cellular regeneration,
yep,
and healing. I mean, the future of energy medicine, and we're going to, you know, they're working on remotely activated drugs. And so it's possible that someday on your cell phone, you'll just be able to activate your insulin through electromagnetic and electrical fields in the body. So that's called electroceuticals.
Isn't that crazy?
So this is not just woo-woo stuff.
And also, you called it electromagnetic pharmacology too. But here you pointed out that they're now starting to build, design homes, schools, offices, et cetera, that maintain a healthy human energy field.
There's some, that is the future. And also the devices have to be, they're going to have to build devices that are compatible with a human energy. People buzz at about 40 hertz. That's what humans are. So creating devices, environments, schools, homes that, you know, work with the human energy field. I mean, you're seeing some moves like there's a luxury home company in San Francisco that's building sort of super wellness homes called Troon Pacific. And they're building all the bedrooms with these cables in the walls to block all electromagnetic pollution and Wi-Fi. And, you know, like there are wellness resorts in Germany where you, like Lanzerhof, where you switch a button in your room at night and it copper shields all the walls.
Wow.
So that all, you know, electricity, electrosmog, Wi-Fi. So that's part of also of the circadian thing. So, I mean, it's kind of like humans aren't good at, you know, kind of their relationship to their screens and energy and light. They don't do a good job on their own.
Self-regulation.
So more solutions like that. It's an expensive thing to do right now, but I think that as we learn more about this hyper-networked world and we'll see how the medical research comes out, we'll have more solutions to shield us.
Well, I'm telling you, I could talk forever about energy medicine, but now let's talk about your favorite, the one you were so excited about on stage yesterday, wellness music. What do you want to tell us?
It's a trend that really, it was part of the energy medicine trend because music is an energy medicine. And then it became so interesting and big that we pulled it out and made its own trend. But anyway,
sub-trend.
You know, I think all humans on Earth understand that music is medicine, the effect it has on their mood. But there's just such powerful evidence for music therapy. You know, there's studies that show that we're actually hardwired for music. There's studies that show that there's no stimulus, any kind of stimulus that activates so many regions of the brain as music does. So there's so much evidence, but the way that we have thought about music therapy has been kind of dowdy, really. But so what's happening now, there's something big is happening. So music is being designed as an intentional wellness therapy with through new technologies and by studying the impact that things like tone, timbre, and chords have on our biometrics. So, you know, there's a lot of research going on about what particular musical compositions and soundscapes have what effect on the human body. This trend also, I mean, music is like a hot trend in wellness, but wellness is also changing the big music industry, the massive music industry.
I was so surprised to hear this.
So we call this, you know, I say wellness music is being born, but I also think the trend is really being driven, the millennials and young, you know, people are now kind of escaping from screens. They're exhausted by screens. So they're retreating into music and sound. That's why we're having a podcast.
I know you said it. What did you say here? Our newly opened ears, even like podcasting, right?
Well, I mean, think about the rise of podcasting. Who would have thought that listening as a mode would become this global sensation? But I think that the part of this exhaustion and this retreat into sound and acoustic and sound experience is part of this.
And then you also said that people need to escape from social media strutting. I thought that was so cute. And just like, let me hear Beyonce or let me hear a chant or something.
Right. So, I mean, one of them, the wellness music trend has a lot of different angles, but one of the interesting technologies that's being designed by neuroscientists and is this idea, it's called generative music. So basically, apps and technologies pull your biological information, your heartbeat, your breath rate, and then they're pulling your environmental data. I'm stuck in traffic. I'm lying on a beach. And as this data comes in, it creates this personal, always changing, just for Kim Marshall, soundscape.
Who does this?
So there's companies like, I would say the one that gets the big headlines is called Endel from Berlin. But this is happening in a lot of different companies.
Oh my God.
So basically, it's like this evolving, it's not a song, but it's a biometric and environmental driven sort of wellness soundscape that you can tune into anytime you want to.
Oh my God.
And
I gotta write that down.
And there's an amazing kind of wellness music sanctuary in London that's just open called Wave Paths. And it's created by the guy, he's a neuroscientist, but also a psilocybin researcher from a big university there.
What's psilocybin?
Magic mushrooms.
Oh, got it. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so when you go to this wellness music center and you nest in this cool pod, and then all these sensors pull all of your biometric data, and then combined with artificial intelligence, this healing composition sort of courses through you through 21 surrounding speakers. So there's a lot of this generative music going on. So it's pulling where you're at biometrically and environmentally, and then creating a soundscape for you in your life.
Talk about personalization. Yeah. I have never...
Well, it's a whole different concept of music, right?
Wow.
And then, you know, anyway, so there's so many, and then, you know, meditation apps are turning into wellness music apps, and Calm, which is, you know, a unicorn, a $1 billion company, is really getting into wellness music. So they used to be just a meditation app. Now they're working with Moby to create adult lullabies. And then this year they're going to be working with hip hop artists and country stars to create a new kind of music for well-being. But they're giving artists an opportunity to create, you know, they're becoming what I would call a music label, a wellness music label.
Calmus.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, they're letting people create long form music, you know, calm music. So, and then there's other record labels that are the first mindfulness record label is called Maya Records. So it's like a whole new way where music for well-being is becoming kind of like an option, a channel on the Spotify's and, I mean, all the different meditation apps. And I just think that music is being reinvented and reimagined in all these new experiments, new technologies, neuroscientists. The NIH just gave $20 million
to fund
a sound healing, you know, sound is medicine initiative. That's going to lead to a lot of studies. Because, you know, you listen to something, a song, everyone has their playlist. Like, I'm stressed, I'm depressed, I need energy. But what if we can sort of understand how music really impacts us and even personally in a way that could be more intentionally like an intentional medicine instead of just a passive medicine. And it's not about giving up, you know, your Beatles and your Billie Eilish. You know, it's not pitting that music we all love. It's a new option.
Wow. And you said in the very beginning that no other stimulus positively activates so many regions of the brain as music.
Yeah.
I mean, music.
That's what studies show, that it fires in... You know, it fires. I mean, it's deeply associated with memory, music.
Yep.
So obviously, it has a lot of applications to people with Alzheimer's because it lights up memory. Music, the part of the brain that processes the mechanics of memory, are associated with music and mood. So, yeah, it's a brain lighter upper.
And you know, it's so funny because my husband's from Cuba, and of course he loves all that, and he likes jazz and what have you, and he even likes heavy metal sometimes. If I'm stressed out, too many politics, too much work, whatever, I turn on 70s music, and he said, "Are you kidding me?"
Like yacht rock or
like Carole King, yeah. Joni Mitchell, all of that, and James Taylor, and he's like, "What are you doing?" But I really wonder if it was a certain stage of your life is the reason that it was such a learning opening stage that you go back there to be comfortable or something.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you see now, I mean, I'm from like an 80s person. So I see every ad on TV is like my punk bands from the 80s because they're the ones, they're my age making the commercials, right? Like we sort of get stuck at our moment of music.
I think so, yeah.
I'm happy to be stuck there. Given that I don't adore music now. But
now, this is so rich, Beth, and anyone who listens to this, now you have to remember this podcast can be heard from anyone from India to Indianapolis, right? So is there something you'd like to say about all the hard work you do? Is there a reason, something that motivates you into all your hard research?
You know, I think for all of us, Susie, and everyone, the whole team, the thing that really is payback is when it makes changes. Like last year, we did a trend on dying well and how death was such an unwell process, from how people died to how people celebrated their, you know, it's broken. It wasn't part of life.
It was part of a...
And so we covered all these ways that everything from the funeral to the burial got, you know, the sort of eco burials to death doulas helping people. But I mean, at the time when we were like, this is a trend, you know, we were a little skeptical, you know, like, will people...
Hesitant, maybe.
Well, you know, people don't want to read about death and wellness, because the wellness world is very invested in, you know, everyone's young and beautiful and
never
gonna live
dying,
forever, and you never die if you do us. So it's felt a little in your face, and we called out the wellness industry about being more sensitive, about making this part of life, and, you know, stop being so focused on youth, longevity, and living forever, because you're not going to. So anyway, when that trend came out, that probably had the most impact of any trend last year. And why it's worth doing is because it makes changes. And you see industries come up like from a trend that really actually change people's lives. Mm. That's what makes it worth it. I mean, I think with the circadian trend, just rethinking light and sleep. Thinking sleep and our, you know, today, like people, like the hot trend is, you know, Silicon Valley is doing dopamine fasting. And that's just a pretty word for changing how much stimulus you're taking in all the time. I mean, we are overwhelmed with information.
And we're addicted to it.
And stress and anger and screens and news. And so they have a fancy word for it, dopamine fasting. But really what they're talking about is cutting things off and retiming your life where you're not just, and we're talking about light, they're talking about input. But I think finally people are getting to a point of, you know, realizing that maybe it's not so sustainable.
Well, I also want to just, my hat's off to you, that sometimes you just put it out there. I mean, you had the balls to have the last trend be "In Wellness We Trust," and that juxtaposition between being a wellness pioneer and saying try crystals or try this and being judged by the media for it, a la Goop. So tell me what you feel about that trend. It was just really courageous, I think.
Well, that trend's more about how, you know, wellness is a $4.5 trillion market. It's always been a consumer market, because I think we explain in the trend, kind of wellness is always, it changes all the time because it's a supplement to what traditional medicine isn't delivering on. So traditional medicine hasn't done a great job with prevention. It hasn't done a good job with lifestyle change. They exercise, nutrition, you know, it's more pills and procedures.
Right.
So wellness grew out of a healthy reason of people wanting more. But because it's such a massive market now, there's a lot of, you know, obviously there's a lot of less than evidence-based and sometimes dangerous stuff coming out. That, so what we're saying is, you know, there's going to be more wellness watchdogs in the future. The media is going after every move that Goop makes. I mean, I think before the product gets announced, there's already 15 articles, you know, that...
But they're looking for charlatans in the mix, you know.
Well, and it's... I'm not going to weigh in on Charlotte. I mean, Goop's made some moves to hire some doctors. And,
oh, no,
and
I don't mean just them, but everywhere.
But yeah. I think that, I think it's unfortunate, because I think the media focuses so intensely on Goop. They kind of suck all the air out of the room for wellness, and they're not giving space and time to the things that are really the pillars of wellness, you know? And is it boring to talk about it? The fact that exercise, healthy food, stress reduction, sleep, and human community are the five most important health
pillars
in the world. It gets lost when we just get so hung up on jade eggs and, you know, $6,000 gold fitness leggings. I don't know, whatever. But, you know, the wellness world's giving the media a lot of ammunition, but just it can become clickbait, and it can get people off focusing on what would really help people and change lives. So I understand it, but I wish that there was, I think as much as the wellness world is going to be held more accountable with all kinds of watchdogs and maybe more government regulation of supplements and new platforms that are trying to kind of wheat chaff science, not science, yep. evidence. I also think the media has to watch its thyself as yeah. well.
uh-huh. And what I love is that you told that to the media. I mean, here we are in the Hearst building, the Devil Wears Prada building, as I say. And, you know, we know the industry is going through a seismic shift, just like retail, you know, print's getting skinnier and skinnier. Online is so instant. Do you have the time for research? Can you really prove what you're saying? So to be in that, in the womb of that, and say, okay, guys, this is true. We get it, but be careful too. And I think that's really great.
Well, and also to know that it's not a mystery. There's that tens and tens of thousands of studies on wellness approaches. Everything from acupuncture to meditation to massage to yoga. And it's there. And that's why we created wellnessevidence.com. It's not going to say like yes, no at the website, but people shouldn't be afraid of the medical evidence. They should dive into it. At the end of every study, it says conclusion. You don't have to read the whole thing. And the resources that we have make, you know, it much easier. But I sometimes think like, well, why don't you look at the evidence? Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's what we tried to do with Wellness Evidence, is just make it a little bit, just a little bit easier to get into the universe of studies for what we call wellness.
But I will tell you, Beth, I have to say, I'm so tickled, having been in PR my whole career, and I know that's where you started too, to see the media being so open-eared to accept. And every year, this event that we were just at yesterday, more and more media come to say, okay, what are you saying? Let's just see if I agree with that, and then let's run with it. So thank you for doing that, Bethy. And thank you so much for getting up. You weren't feeling well. You sounded fantastic. But the Global Wellness Institute would not be an institute without you.
Wow.
So thanks for all your hard
so
work.
So nice. Yeah. Always fun to talk to you.
Don't forget to visit globalwellnessinstitute.org and look for the Positively Well pages that are filled with tips for embracing optimism as a powerful antidote. Thanks for listening to today's podcast. Can't wait to get together again.